Weekend Breakfast
on 702. Let's walk the talk.
So do you know where your dislike of others come from? I mean, have you found yourself hating someone for no reason? Let me know of the darkest place that hatred has led you. Get in touch with us, 011-883-0702, WhatsApp number 072-702-1702. And I'm going to be bringing in Khosi Giani and a lady now we can refer to as doctor after passing her oral exam this week. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Jane. Yeah. Quite a milestone. Thank you.
Congratulations. No, that's amazing. I should imagine you right now very little hate, and it's an emotion that dominates so many people in this country. It's pretty frightening. But before we get to hate, let's get on to stigma. Tell us more about it.
Ooh. Yeah, I think, you know, they are an interesting pair to look at, because the stigma would have to precede the hate. So if you're talking about stigma, we're really just talking about a negative, it's a negative appraisal or regard, opinion or belief that we hold about someone based on some characteristic, some attribute or experience. So stigma is mental, right? It's the opposite of admiration in that sense. Whereas then the hate is the emotion that then we invest based on that appraisal, that stigmatizing appraisal that we have of somebody. So they're a pair, they go together, but not necessarily. Because, you know, you can have the stigma and it can end there, that you have an opinion of somebody or a group of people based on something, to then take it the extra mile to invest. Hate is a very invested emotion.
Mm.
So it takes it the extra mile to go that distance.
Karen Marais got in touch with us, and she said she experienced palpable hate as an adult, a traumatic experience, and anxiety is a symptom. I should imagine there are quite a few symptoms, anxiety being a pretty dominant one.
Indeed, it would have to be because... you know, there is a sense of fear being unsettled. It destabilizes us, essentially, and it destabilizes our whole system and our world around us when we feel that. Whenever we are confronted, as in the case that you're citing, whatever the experience is, it would evoke that emotion, that anxiety, fear even. And resentment and being repulsed by whatever person or situation that this person may be referring to.
Do these emotions come from a place of weakness sometimes?
Sometimes they do. Or sometimes they can come from a sense of superiority. Let's start with the sense of weakness, in the sense that you may have been rendered vulnerable in a certain experience where, for example, you get bullied, let's say. You know, you've been rendered vulnerable, let's say, perhaps in a school by a group of kids that perhaps have a certain characteristic about them. And you then would feel that hatred towards them because of that vulnerability, that experience that you had with them. And the opposite may be that you see them as perhaps morally depraved or weakness in some ways. And then you see yourself, if you don't have that characteristic that they have, as being superior by virtue of that.
And we know, going back to stigma, I mean, how it can impact people in this country, for example. I know you know, initially there was so much stigma attached to having HIV/AIDS, and it would stop people from getting treatment. I mean, are we any better at tackling that type of stigma?
I think we've made significant progress, and I would hope that, you know, the listeners or people out there would agree with me, because I think I think it's just human nature on some level for us to seek to protect ourselves from you know, something if we stay with HIV, we seek to protect ourselves. And especially because, and it's an interesting comparison to look at, for example, HIV as opposed to cancer, right? So a person with HIV, and let's say they're now experiencing the symptoms of AIDS, as opposed to somebody who's going through an experience of cancer. It's two different things. You know, the one with HIV would be stigmatized, whereas perhaps the one with cancer would experience empathy. And that's because of the association that we will have stigmatized the person who has that experience as having been, in some ways, you know, experienced moral weakness. In the way that they got to contract the HIV as opposed to the empathy we would feel with somebody who has contracted cancer. And in the beginning, I think there was a sense, the stigma was more from fear of not knowing what this condition was about. And the fact that you could contract it, or, you know, and from a survival point of view, we want to keep that distance to protect ourselves from it. But it doesn't make sense, you know, in that sometimes even as we are better at understanding things, it is the character that we associate with the person. And there's that sense of superiority that if they have experienced something like that, we put them on a lower moral, basis, as opposed to we ourselves who have not experienced that it means therefore the person is of moral superiority. And we would then judge them on that basis. And if you would associate with them, the sense is that it means that you are like-minded as well. And therefore, we want to protect our own image. And it's the distance becomes the way in which we can then, on some level, throw them in the moral, you know, dustbin of life, as it were.
Let's bring in Karen from Cape Town. She wants to extrapolate a little bit on her WhatsApp message. Go ahead, Karen.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Doctor. You know, I tune into you on a Sunday morning and give advice because sometimes there's no other access at this point in time. And I've experienced hatred towards myself, and it's caused me to feel hatred, which I think is the most devastating thing, because it can be very traumatic if you're not a person that normally feels that you hate something. But when you get it directed at you, and it's almost palpable, in fact, it is palpable. I've actually experienced it because I'm in a situation where I just thought it was disdain, but then I realized it's more than just disdain. It's actually something where I'm doing something that other people feel is wrong and should not be done because they have a judgment of me, and it causes them to hate me. And then it becomes something that grows in me as a fear, because I'm fearful of people hating me because it causes people to do bad things. And then I become hateful. You know, I become a person that hates. And it's because I'm in the situation where it's very unusual situation, caring for my partner who has a condition that's unusual. Plus, he's much younger than me. Plus, I'm outspoken. So this combination has created the hatred that I've felt is real. And the only way I've been able to overcome that is to get support. And I found, the Depression and Anxiety Group, South African Depression and Anxiety Group, has helped me because they listen, they don't judge, they don't stereotype. And it's just something that I know people have to reach out. Sometimes the reaching out is not easy when you're isolated and feel that somebody hates you and it's causing you to be hateful yourself, because then you start hating yourself, and that's the worst place to be in. Yeah, so that's just what I can add to it. Just, and maybe just guarding your heart against people who, you know, it's in their best interest for you to be subjugated, and finding people who want to uplift you if you know that you're not in a position to do that for yourself because you're feeling weak. I think that's the important thing, to have those roots where access, people can access help, because we don't need to perpetuate hate at all. Yeah.
Doctor? Dr. Gianni, did you hear that?
I couldn't hear all of what she said, but what I picked up is she's talking about fear of people hating her and hating, in turn hating herself. Sounds like she's talking about a vicious cycle of hate. Sorry, Jane, I didn't catch all of what she said.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good précis of what she's going through. And some of the routes that she's taken to try and help herself. And I guess what she was highlighting is the danger of that sort of hatred, and particularly self-hatred.
Mm. And it becomes a vicious cycle where you kind of trying to see the cause and effect cycle between those two things. Because from what I gather, there's something that she did or an experience with a partner that she feels hated about, and in turn hates herself. Did I get that right?
Well, she's with a young, much younger partner, she says, who's going through some issues, and which she's obviously struggling to deal with.
Okay, and so therefore she's experiencing judgment from other people because of that. And in turn, she then has that negative appraisal of herself. So she internalizes that, and it's so you know, profound how we then can hate ourselves as a way of protecting ourselves from. It's a, in a sense, insulating ourselves from the effect of how other people would hate us. And so, if I hate myself first, then it minimizes, in the sense, it serves as a buffer for the hatred that I experience from other people. So it doesn't sting as much as if I loved myself, it would, you know, that hatred from other people would penetrate very deeply. But if I also hate myself, then in a sense, protects the self from the hurt that I would experience from other people. And it becomes a vicious cycle. And I also heard her talking about the depression and anxiety support group. And it's very important, you know, to process and unpack that. My sense is that there's a lot to that, you know, the way that she feels towards herself about the situation that has perhaps some history to it, and my sense would be that I appreciate that she finds a non-judgmental space within the depression and anxiety support group, and it would be my hope that she can kind of take that a step further and go through the process of really unpacking that, with a professional, and unpack, you know, the roots of that, and how then she can appraise herself differently, because there's really, at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong about her choice of relationship. And I don't know the entire picture. However, it would also be important for her to understand what it is in how people feel about it, and to find some space of balance with that, without knowing the details at the moment. But I would, my sense would be there's more to unpack for her in that situation.
Yeah, because and I'm sure she needs to deal with that, because she was saying her young partner is unable to care for himself. I mean, I should imagine that stigma, betrayal, hate, just such a complex set of emotions, something that really needs to be tackled before it takes over you.
Yes, indeed, because it's self-loathing, and in certain ways, you know, we often say that's even harder to deal with than hating another, because there is so much complexity to it, and it is about the journey of shifting from that space to a space of compassion with herself, knowing that she is not perfect, and holding herself, the self of herself, with empathy and regard. And while she perhaps navigates the behaviors, some of which may not serve her or may not serve, you know, others in that space, without knowing the details.
Mm. And I should imagine when it comes to something like this, it's always good to talk about it, to express it, rather than to try and resolve it yourself and let it bubble away in your head and your soul.
Yeah, because you can very easily, you know, go down the rabbit hole and a place of darkness and depression and anxiety over that. Whereas, you know, if you allow yourself the space to really unpack in a non-judgmental space, it allows you to release rather than being held hostage over that, because I would imagine, you know, the feeling of transparency, you know, people can are looking at you, people are seeing right through you. It's not a good place to be for herself. And yeah, it is about allowing herself that space to unpack that and reframing what that means for her and about her and that relationship, as it were.
Phil wants to ask you, he's from Waterkloof in Pretoria. He wants to speak to you about the toll that hate takes on you. Morning, Phil. Hello, Phil, can you hear me? Hello, Phil? Okay. Well, yes. Mm. So Phil's question was about the toll that hate takes on you.
Yeah, you know, and I can draw the analogy, you know, it poisons the person who hates.
Sorry, just hold on a moment. We've got him on the line. Hold on a sec. Go ahead, Phil.
Good morning, Doc, and welcome, and good morning, Jane. You know, sometimes when we edit any relationship, we get hurt, and then instead of processing and healing, we worrying, which goes through various stages, actual, the anticipatory, and the retrospect. We end up scratching the past and then end up suffering from what is called person situation. God bless you.
All right. Is there anything you'd like to say to him, the little that we were able to get?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very the easiest thing and perhaps the most naturally self-preserving behavior when we've been hurt, instead of feeling the hurt, is to go to anger and then hatred. And in the moment, it perhaps helps us to quarantine, to contain, and to externalize whatever hurt that we are experiencing rather than processing it and releasing it. And in that way, it means that when we are invested in holding on to that experience as opposed to releasing it. And it's as if, you know, you are holding it with your hand and you've clenched that fist and containing it instead of releasing it. And there is no way that it cannot erode you internally while you're holding on to that. Whereas the harder but better is to process that so that you can release it and free yourself from that experience, knowing that, you know, we will go through experiences such as that, and some deeper than others. But there's always something to take out of that experience, and to release that is the most important gift we can give ourselves.
Karen and Phil, thank you very much for getting in touch with us. And here's a message for you, Doctor. I first heard Causey speaking on the radio some years ago and immediately knew that a PhD was just a matter of time. Congratulations and thanks for your service to the nation.
Thank you. That's so hard to you. Much, much appreciated.
And thank you for the time this week. See you again next week.